Turn with me in your New Testament to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Today we're going to look at verses 9 through 21. And I want to talk to you today about what it means to live your life as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Today is the last sermon in our series this month in January on gather, build, and send. That's the vision of our church here at Quail Springs Baptist Church, to gather together, to worship and to study God's Word, to build one another up in our faith in Jesus Christ, to build up new believers as they come to Christ as Savior and follow Him in baptism and then follow Him as Lord, and then to be sent. We are sent wherever God puts us. He sends us for the sake of the gospel. And so today I want to talk to you about what it means to live your life sent, what it means to live your life as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. As I preach to you today, and as you look at the Word of God today, I want to ask you to consider two questions throughout this message. Here's the first question. Ask yourself the question, am I available? Just a simple question. Am I available to do whatever God wants to do in me? Am I available to be whatever He wants me to be? And then a second question, am I willing to say yes to whatever God asks me to do? Am I available and am I willing to say yes? As we answer yes to both of those questions, God works in us to send us as His ambassadors. Let's stand together as we read God's Word, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 9 of the text, and we read the words of the Apostle Paul, who says this, "So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearances and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." This is the Word of God. Will you join with me as we pray? Lord God, I pray that You would move me out of the way, and God, give us hearts to say yes to You, Lord, for whatever You would call us to do. Lord, use our available lives to Your glory, that we might be Your ambassadors. And we'll give You glory and honor, Lord, for all that You do. For we pray these things in Jesus' holy name. And church, if you agree with that prayer, will you say amen? Amen. You may be seated. I want you to focus with me on the words of verse 20 of our text. We are ambassadors for Christ. Will you say that with me? We are ambassadors for Christ. Now, you know what an ambassador is. An ambassador is someone who is sent by one country to another country to represent the interests of the sending country in the foreign country. Several years ago, in fact, just a couple of years ago, Michelle and I were on a mission trip to Romania, and we had been there. I'd been preaching and teaching and just helping to train up pastors and preaching in some churches there. And then we were on our way back, and on our way back, we stopped just for an afternoon in Budapest, Hungary. It was on our way back, and then we would come back to the United States. And so we were there walking around in the city square of Budapest. And as we were, we saw something that captured our attention, something that looked unusual. We saw a statue of United States President Ronald Reagan there in the middle of that square in Budapest. And so we saw that, and that was an unusual thing to see. And then very close by, we saw a beautiful building. It was surrounded by a large wall and a gate. And then at the entranceway, it said United States Embassy. And so we've seen other foreign embassies, but this one was especially beautiful. And we just looked at that, saw the American flag flying there. And here's what we realized. Even though that embassy was in Hungary, that land, that territory was U.S. territory, because that's how an embassy works. Even though it's in a foreign place, the territory itself belongs to the United States. 5,500 miles away from here in Budapest, we were looking at U.S. territory. And inside the embassy is the ambassador. He's called an ambassador because he lives in an embassy, and he represents the country of the United States there in Hungary. And so he's there, but he's not there as a citizen of Hungary. He's there as a citizen of the United States representing us there. Now, here's what we learn from the Word of God. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. In a very real way, this church, and I'm not talking about the physical facility or the grounds or anything like that, but I'm talking about the body of believers called Quail Springs Baptist Church. This church is an embassy of heaven on earth. Do you realize that? Even though this church is in Oklahoma City, we don't really belong to Oklahoma City. Even though we're in the state of Oklahoma, we don't really belong to the state of Oklahoma. Even though we're in the United States, we don't really belong to the United States. Even though we're in the world, we don't really belong to the world, because we are an embassy of heaven on earth. We are an embassy for the sake of the gospel. We're an embassy for the sake of Jesus Christ, and an embassy must have an ambassador. Congratulations, you are the ambassador. You've been sent out in this world to make a difference for Jesus Christ. We're here, but we really don't belong here. You know, the old gospel song says, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I don't feel at home," where? In this world anymore. Have you learned that the further along you get in the world as a believer, the less at home you feel in the world? I just noticed that. The further along I get, the less at home I feel here. And the truth is, the Bible says this isn't home. Heaven is. Notice what Paul says about it in verse 9 of our text. He says, whether we are at home or away. Now, when he talks about being at home or away, he's not talking about being in his home on earth or somewhere out on the mission field. That's not what he means by home or away. He means whether we're at home with the Lord in heaven or away from the Lord here on earth, we make it our aim to please him. We are his ambassadors. God is looking for men and women who will represent him, who will represent his gospel, who will represent his kingdom, who will represent his son Jesus in the midst of an alien world that is set against God. God calls us to live as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And he calls everyone, not just pastors, not just preachers, not just apostles like Paul. He calls every believer, wherever he sends you, to live as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And so an ambassador asks those two questions. First of all, am I available? Am I available to do whatever God wants me to do? And then am I willing to answer yes to whatever Jesus Christ has for me? I want us to look at this passage of Scripture, and as we do, I want to talk to you about three motivations the Word of God gives us for living as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. First of all, the Word of God shows us this. As an ambassador for Christ, we have to be motivated by a desire for God's pleasure. God motivates us with a desire for his own pleasure. Now look in verses 9 and 10 of our text. Notice what the Word of God says as Paul writes. Whether we are at home or away, whether we're here on earth, whether we're up in heaven, we make it our aim to please
him. I've just circled in my Bible the word aim. The word there means ambition. And sometimes ambition can be a bad thing, but when you have an ambition to please God, then that ambition is a good thing and a holy thing. We make it our aim to please him. Your aim and my aim every day here on earth should simply be this: I want to please him. With all of the people around me, with all the things that I have to do, with everybody who might have an opinion about me, my aim is simply this: I want to please him. I desire his pleasure. And the word of God shows us something. The Bible says that if we please him or if we don't please him, there will come a day when he will evaluate our lives. Look in verse 10. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Now here Paul is talking to believers, and he says, all believers must appear at the judgment seat of Christ. The Word of God talks about two major judgments. One judgment is for unbelievers. The other judgment is for believers. In the book of Revelation, the Word of God talks about the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment is only really for unbelievers. Everyone who will stand before the great white throne judgment will be separated from God forever in a place called hell. The purpose of the great white throne judgment is not to determine whether somebody goes to heaven or hell, but instead to show that those who have rejected Jesus have indeed rejected him, that they have indeed sinned against him, and that their names are not written down in the Lamb's book of life. And the Bible talks about that in the book of Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, that at the great white throne judgment, people will be judged for having rejected Jesus. That's the great white throne judgment. This is a different judgment. This is the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is only for believers. Everyone who stands at the judgment seat of Christ is going to go to heaven. That's not the question. The question, if you notice what the Word of God says, the question is, what have we as believers done in the body? What have we done, good or evil, in the lives that God has given us to serve him and to follow him? Have we been good ambassadors for Jesus, or have we been bad ambassadors for Jesus? We should have a desire for God's pleasure. I want to remind you, you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ as a believer, and God will judge your life, not to determine whether you go to heaven or hell. You're going to go to heaven, but the question he's going to judge is, have you made a difference for Jesus Christ in your life? Have you made a difference for him? Our desire should be to please him. Now I want you to take your Bibles and turn just a few pages back to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible mentions the judgment seat of Christ in 2 Corinthians, where we've read, but the Bible gives a description of what will happen at the judgment seat of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In fact, you may want to mark your Bible. These verses I don't believe will appear on the screen, but you can mark your Bible in verses 11 through 15 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And there the Bible talks about building our lives on the foundation of Jesus, and how we can either build with materials that will withstand the judgment seat of Christ, or materials that will go up in smoke at the judgment seat of Christ. Notice what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 11. The Word of God says, "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day of the judgment seat of Christ, will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire." It's describing the judgment seat of Christ. And I want you to notice, everyone who stands at this judgment will be saved, but not everyone who stands at this judgment will be rewarded. Is everybody with me so far? Say amen if you are. Everyone who stands at the judgment seat of Christ will be saved. Everyone will not be rewarded. The Bible says your life as a believer is like a building. You can either build with gold, silver, and precious stones, Or you can build with wood, hay, and straw. Now, I'll tell you something. You can build something pretty big and impressive with wood, hay, and straw. You can build a big house. You can do all kinds of things. You can decorate it. You can make furniture with things made out of wood, hay, and straw. All those things can happen. But at the judgment seat of Christ, Jesus Christ will test the works of your life by fire. And the works that are wood, hay, and straw will go up in flames and fall down in black ashes, and there will be nothing left. Listen to me. If you live your life as a believer for things of this world, if you live only for the things that you can accomplish here, the things you can experience here, if you live a life on this earth that's only about this earth, and so many, and it's a tragedy, but so many believers spend their lives just doing that. They build up big, impressive lives that only matter in the here and now. Your life will one day go up in smoke and fall down in ashes, and there'll be nothing left. Don't miss this warning. If you live this life for this life, your life is like wood, hay, and straw, the Bible says. On the other hand, you can build a life of gold, silver, and precious stones. What does that mean? That means living your life for eternity. Making a difference for Jesus. Sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with those around you. Helping others and ministering to them in Jesus' name. Living your life day by day saying, Lord, I want to please you. That's the desire of my heart. I don't want to build a life of wood, hay, and stubble. I want my life to matter. And one day at the judgment seat of Christ, if you have built your life with the things that matter for eternity, then on that day you'll stand before Jesus, and even when the fire of his purging judgment comes upon your life and when everything else goes up in smoke, the things that you've done for Jesus will last. The little poem says, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. What about you? If you're going to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, then you have to be motivated by a desire to please him. Look again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. And notice what the Word of God says in that verse. Knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. Here's what Paul is saying. He is fearful of standing before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ with nothing to offer him in his hands. A life filled with nothingness when it comes to spiritual things. He says, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. He's serving as an ambassador for Jesus Christ because he has a desire for God's pleasure. Number two, the Bible shows us this. You should be motivated to be an ambassador for Jesus by a response to God's love. By a response to God's love. Look in verses 14 and 15 of our text. There the Bible says this, for the love of Christ controls us. Paul, why are you spending your life traveling all around sharing the gospel? He would answer, the love of Christ controls us. Well, Paul, why are you going places where they reject you and mistreat you and you're preaching the gospel and they're treating you horribly? He would say, the love of Christ controls us. Well, Paul, why are you suffering so many things and experiencing so much pain in your own body? He would say, for the love of Christ controls us. He says, the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. Verse 15, and he, Jesus Christ, died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Paul says the love of Christ compels him, controls him, and moves him forward. He is doing what he does as an ambassador for Jesus in response to God's love. Can I tell you something? The only reason you will ultimately serve and give and share the gospel and make a difference for Jesus Christ, the only reason you will do it is out of love for Jesus and a response to his great love for you.
But when you know the great love he has for you, when you begin to realize the incredible love, sacrificial, unconditional love that Jesus has for you, it will move you, it will control you so that you will live your life as his ambassador. The Bible says that Jesus loves us so much. Look at what it says in verses 14 and 15, that one Jesus has died for all. That's you. He loves you so much that he died for you. Now, many times we don't quite understand what it means to say Christ died for all, or Christ died for you, or Christ died for me, or Christ died for us. What does it mean to say Christ died for you? Well, on the one hand, you can say it means that Christ died for my benefit. Christ died for my good. He died so that something good can come to me. But you know something? When the Bible talks about Christ dying for you, it's talking about something far deeper than just dying for your benefit. You know, this morning, I'll use an illustration. This morning, I am preaching right now for you. In other words, I'm hoping that as I preach for you, I'm preaching for your good and for your benefit. That's one way of saying I am preaching for you. But then a couple of weeks ago, I was away from the pulpit and I asked to preach for me, Dr. Jeff DiGiacomo. And that morning, Dr. DiGiacomo stood here and he preached for you. He preached for your benefit, but he also preached for me. He took my place. He stood where I would normally stand and he preached on my behalf. He preached for me. When the Bible says that Jesus Christ died for you, it doesn't simply mean that he died to do something good for you. It doesn't simply mean that he died for your benefit. It means that he died in your place, on your behalf, for your sin, for you. Praise God for that. That's how much he loves you. He died for you. He died for me. I should have been on that cross. He died for me. I should have been rejected by God. He died for me. I should have suffered and bled and died. He died for me. He died for you. And why did he die for you? Because he loves you so much. And that love compels us to live our lives as his ambassadors. I heard a true story about a young couple who had a baby, and they found out too late that their house was in the path of a coming tornado. And so they could not find shelter. They had no way of doing anything else. They went to the living room of their house and they laid their baby boy down on the floor. And then the mother lay down on top of that boy. And then the father lay down on top of both of them. And the storm came, the tornado came, and it wiped out their whole community. It wiped out their house. And the next day when rescuers were coming and going through the wreckage, they came to that house. They came to that living room. Everything was demolished, and there was the dead body of the father, and underneath that, the dead body of the mother, and then underneath that, they heard the crying of a baby boy who had lived. Why did he live? Because mom and dad died for him. They went and took his place so that he could live. Notice what the Word of God says in verse 15. He died for all, that those who live, that's us, might no longer live for themselves, no longer live to build lives of wood, hay, and stubble, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. We live as ambassadors for Jesus Christ as a response to God's sacrificial love for us. Number three, I want you to see this. The Bible gives us a third motivation for living as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Number three, we're motivated by a partnership in God's mission. We're motivated by a partnership in God's mission. Look in verses 18 through 21 of our text and notice the beginning words of verse 18. All this is from God. Paul reminds us every part of salvation comes from God. And we can just look up and see what he means by all this. Christ dying for us is from God. Being made alive through him is from God. Verse 17, the fact that in Christ we are a new creation, the old has passed away and the new has come. All this is from God. And here's what God has done. Here's his mission. Who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. You'll notice in verses 18, 19, and 20, the word reconciled or reconciliation is used a total of five times. The word reconcile, the word reconciliation, means to take two enemies and to turn them into friends. That's what God has done through the cross of Jesus Christ. He has taken enemies and turned them into friends. The Bible is clear. Apart from the cross of Christ, we are enemies of God. There is what the Bible calls enmity or hostility between us and God. We're at odds with him. There's a war going on until we come to Jesus Christ. And you know something? I used to think the way it worked was that I had a problem accepting God as my Savior. I had a problem accepting God as my Master. And then I trusted Jesus as my Savior and it made things right with me and God. And that's true. But here's the truth. Before I got saved, the major problem was not that I might have had a problem with God. Before I got saved, the major problem was God had a problem with me. And that problem was my sin. My sin separated me from God. My sin put me at enmity with God. The same thing's true about you. We were enemies of God, but God, through Jesus Christ, has reconciled us. He sent Jesus Christ to hang between heaven and earth on the cross of Calvary to bear in his own body God's wrath for the enmity and hostility of our sin. He took our sin away through his death on the cross, and now we have been reconciled. That's the message of reconciliation, that we have been made right with God through Jesus Christ. As ambassadors for Christ, we are joining in the mission of God. We're joining as partners with God, as his ambassadors, pleading with people, imploring people on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Listen to me on this. That's your mission. And if you're not living out that mission, you're missing your mission. Your mission is to be sent into the world with this message that God offers salvation and forgiveness and eternal life and reconciliation with himself through the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the message and that's the mission that God has given us as ambassadors. And if we're not fulfilling that mission, we're missing that mission. God calls us to join in partnership with his mission. One of the things I love about Quail Springs Baptist Church is that we are joining together on mission with God to reach our world with the gospel. That's why we gather together. That's why we build up one another in our faith. That's why we're sent out into the world. We are here on mission for Christ. That's why our vision and our mission is to lead Oklahoma City, people throughout Oklahoma City, to follow Jesus Christ as Lord. We are on mission with God. And people sometimes will ask me, Pastor, how can I pray for you? And even when I'm traveling in other places, people say, Stephen, how can I pray for you? Here's the prayer that God's put on my heart. I say, I want you to pray that Quail Springs Baptist Church will continue always to be turned outward. That we will be an outward-facing church reaching the gospel, reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's so easy for us to become inward. It's so easy for us to sort of turn inward. But praise the Lord, this has been an outward-facing church, and we need to make sure we stay that way. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Easy to face inward. And in the world we're in right now, man, it's extra easy to face inward because everybody's sort of keeping one another at arm's length and we're thinking, I don't want to get what you got, but I want them to get what we've got because we've got the gospel of Jesus Christ and he sent us into our world to make a difference for Him. That's why in the next several years, we want to see God do great things to turn our church outward and to reach more and more people as we join with Jesus Christ in God's mission. We want to increase our annual mission journeys every year so that we're sending at least one team every month on average out on mission journeys in the days to come. We want to plant 5 churches in the next 5 years. We want to baptize 15% more people each year, every year in the next 5 years, so that we can reach more and more with the gospel. We want to see at least 25 of our people called to full-time missions and ministry. These are just some things that God has put on my heart, and I've shared with our staff, and it's on their hearts, and we're going to be talking more and more to our leadership about it. But listen, I believe God's got greater things than that for us. As we join with Him on mission, He will do incredible things beyond what we can even ask and think for His glory in His church. And so I just want to ask you to ask those two questions again of yourself. Am I available? And am I ready to say yes to Jesus? Because as you do that, if you just say, I'm available to be His ambassador, and Jesus, I'll say yes to whatever you have for me, He will use you far beyond what you can ever imagine. One of the ways that I've seen God work in my life and in my wife's life and in our family is by saying yes to Jesus in the area of short-term mission journeys. We made a determination several years ago that we wanted part of our family's life together to be going to different places, sharing the gospel with people. When we go on mission journeys, we go for two reasons. Sometimes we go to train and to encourage pastors and other workers in those countries. But most of all, when we go, we want to go to be involved in one-on-one personal evangelism, bringing people to know Jesus Christ as Savior. We've had the opportunity to go many times now to Central America and just share the gospel one-on-one. And we've seen literally hundreds and hundreds of people individually come to Jesus Christ as Savior as we've gone. But I just want to tell you about somebody who said yes to Jesus, someone who said, Lord, I'll make myself available, and how God used him and used a trip to El Salvador just to make a difference, not only in his life, but in my life and in the lives of the people that he was instrumental in reaching. I want to tell you a story about my dad. Now, my dad was, maybe he was mid-60s. It was about 10 years ago. And I was just talking to him about a trip that I was getting ready to take to El Salvador. And I don't usually buttonhole people about going on mission trips with me, but it was my dad. And so I just thought, I'm just going to put this out here. I just sort of felt like I needed to say. So I said, Dad, I'm going to El Salvador. And I said, I'd like you to go with me. Now, my dad, at that point in time, had never been out of the United States of America. Never taken any trip beyond the United States. And also, he doesn't speak any Spanish at all. I've got a big advantage over him. I had 2 years of Spanish 1, and so I can, yeah. Y'all are laughing like that's not true. It's true. I had 2 years of Spanish 1. But anyway, I said, Dad, they got great translators there. I said, I've been there. The food's good. I said, you don't have to change your currency. They use the U.S. dollar. I said, you leave in the morning. It's a short trip. You leave in the morning. We'll be there that afternoon. We'll be somewhere sharing the gospel with somebody. It's a pretty easy trip to make internationally. I said, I want you to go. And I said, Dad, here's what I've got in my mind. I said, I think if you go that you can give haircuts. My dad's a barber, you know. And so I said, I think you can give haircuts in the schools. And as you give haircuts, I can share the gospel. And I just think it'll be a lot of fun. And so I really thought that he was going to say, well, no. I thought he maybe would give something for me to go. He'd say that, which that wasn't what I was trying to get him to do. But that's just what I thought. I thought he'd do something like that. He said, where would I plug in my clippers? He said, do they have AC there or DC? And I said, Dad, I don't know. He said, well, I can get battery operated clippers. He said, I've got a pair of battery operated clippers. Then he said, how would I sterilize my tools in between the haircuts? And before I could answer him, he said, I tell you what, I'll bring a whole lot of combs. And each time I give a boy a haircut, I'll just give him the comb, and then I don't have to worry about sterilizing the combs, and I can clean down my tools in between each haircut. And then he said, what kind of clothes would I have to wear? And I realized he's going to go with me on this trip. And so we went. I don't think I have any better memory, or I ever will have any better memory, of things I've done with my dad than going on that trip to El Salvador. We got there. We'd eat breakfast every morning in an outdoor little restaurant looking over. There's a beautiful volcano that was in the distance. Beautiful. And then we'd go to work, get on a bus, and go to a school, usually a middle school or a high school. And we'd come in, and through the translator, I would say, "Free haircuts for boys." And they'd line up. There'd be 35 of them lined up. And Dad can only, we knew how much time we had. Dad could do 9 boys each time we were there, each school. And so I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I actually said uno, dos, tres. Anyway, but I count to 9. We'd send the rest of them on. The other boys would go back to their classrooms. And our team was there. This is what we do. We were there teaching character lessons in the school and then presenting the gospel. So those boys were going to hear the gospel too. But 9 boys were lined up to get their hair cut. My dad took 2 of their chairs, just 2 of the chairs from the school, stacked them on top of one another to bring the boys up high enough, put the chair cloth over them, and he started cutting their hair. Now, he would cut their hair, and I held the mirror, and I just crouched down right in front of them with that mirror. And here's what I found out. As long as I was holding that mirror in front of them, those boys gave me their undivided attention because they wanted to watch themselves get the hair cut. So I just hold it there. And as I held that mirror and they looked, I shared the gospel with boy after boy after boy. And through the translator, I shared with them. We have great translators. Through the translator, I shared how much God loved them. And I would talk to them about sin, that sin is anything we say or do or think that doesn't please God. And then I would ask them if they had sinned and how they had sinned. And they would share with me. And then I would ask them, well, do you know who Jesus is? And most of them had an idea, but none of them had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And during 3 days that we did that, cutting 9 boys' hair each day, we saw 26 boys pray to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. One boy said no. It broke my heart that one boy said no. But it reminded me of something. If one boy said no, all the boys could have said no. So that helped me to know that the 26 who said yes meant yes when they prayed to receive Jesus as their Savior. And we just prayed for that boy who didn't receive Christ to be saved and gave God the glory because he heard the gospel. God took my dad's available life and his willingness to say yes. And he used him. And he'll do the same thing in your life. I mean, whether you decide to go on a mission journey, and there's hardly anyone I would see in this room who couldn't go on some type of a mission journey, whether it's here in the United States or somewhere else. God could use you, whether it's that or whether it's just saying, God, I want to say yes to you to let you use me where you're sending me today as I go out to work or as I'm out in my community. I want you to use me as your ambassador. He'll use you as you say yes to him. And so I would ask you 2 questions to ask yourself. Number 1, are you available to God? And number 2, are you ready to say yes to whatever he has for you? If you'll say yes to both of those questions, he will use you in incredible ways. Let's bow our heads together as we pray. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Lord, we pray that our church would be an embassy of heaven on earth and that we would be your ambassadors. Lord, teach us to trust you enough that we would say yes to anything you have for us because we know that you are good and that you love us and your plans are always good. And Lord, I pray for those all across this room who just right now in their own hearts are saying to you, Lord, I am available. I may not know exactly what you have for me, But Lord, I am available to you. And Lord, right now in this place, I say to you, I am willing to say yes to whatever you have for me. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed all across this room, just right now, will you pray in your heart, Lord, thank you for loving me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Jesus, I am available to you. Jesus, I am willing to say yes to whatever you have for me. Now, Lord, take my available life. Take my willing heart and use me for your glory. Use me as your ambassador. For Jesus, I pray this in your holy name. Amen. Amen. We're going to have a time of invitation in just a moment.